had a friend who was doing a diet, and for breakfast they do oatmeal, and I blew his mind when I told him, make your oatmeal with milk instead of water. And he was basically like, yeah, I'm just downing this shitty instant oatmeal with water because it's part of the diet. And I was like, you want to enjoy it? Toss some milk in there, bro.
That's actually my go-to response for everything. Like, people are like, yo, did you play that new game, Red Dead Redemption 2? And I'm like, well, if you want to enjoy it, throw some milk on that fucker.
Low.
I'm going to break that out at some point during this pod.
The Dynasty Guru presents Dynasty's Child.
We're not experts, we're gurus. That's different.
With your host, Patrick Magnus.
What loser did you bring to us this week?
Featuring Keaton DeRocher.
Well, I did not know that.
And featuring
Jake, I don't know how to say your last name.
It's Devereaux.
Devereaux.
There is no N in the name.
Produced by Adam Lawler.
Hey, you guys. Hey, everybody.
Start over.
Yep, why don't you try that one more time. What's up, nerds? Welcome to Dynasty Child, the flagship fantasy baseball podcast with a focus on Dynasty formats. I'm your host, Patrick Magnus, and I'm a writer over at the Dynasty Guru. As always, I'm joined by my fellow baseball writers, Keaton DeRocher. Keaton, sir, how are you today?
I'm doing great. Nice Friday night. I'm awake. Just had a meatball sub. Let's do this.
Yeah, all is good in the world. So, I still want to know, though, what did you have for breakfast?
I didn't.
You didn't have breakfast?
No, I was too excited for my last day of work, and I didn't do a breakfast.
Wow. You know, it's the most important meal of the day.
I've heard that.
And joining us back in his tremendous form, the man, the myth, the legend, Jake Devereaux, whose name I managed to butcher one way or the other, first name or last name. Jake, how are you today?
I am marvelous. I'm currently watching the 2012 KBO All-Star Bunt King competition, and I just watched Hyunjin Ryu stand as upright as possible and grip the bat like fully around the barrel and make the most careless attempts ever. There was no place he would rather... there was no place he wanted to be less than bunting during this competition. So that was really a lot of fun to watch. So thank you guys for telling me that the KBO has a bunt competition.
Yeah, you should check out the CPBL skills competition too if you get a chance. It's also pretty good. They should do best bat flips. I'd be into that. But you have to hit a home run first. So it's like sort of like the home run derby. Then you get to do a bat flip. Maybe that's a little too much.
I'm into it.
All right. So today on the podcast, we're going to be talking first base rankings and maybe some listener cues. Keaton, did we get any listener cues this round?
Nope.
All right. So we won't be answering any of your questions because you weren't nice enough to ask them. So maybe you could change that. Don't you want us to answer some questions? Send us some questions. There have been no signing or trades, although there looks like there's going to be Sonny Gray going to the Reds. It seems imminent. And that's going to be interesting. I don't want to own him anywhere. If he signs in the Reds, how many shares of Sonny Gray will you own?
Well, there's a real good chance he'll be in the starting rotation. Yep. So, I don't know. If you need innings, there's got to be better options, so.
Yeah, I probably won't own him anywhere, but he's definitely a dude who will pitch and be in the rotation and probably bump someone out, like Keith says. So if he's there to be picked up in some of my deeper leagues, I might pick him up, but he's pretty well owned just on name value. So, but there has been a signing, Patrick. You forgot about our man, Gyro Baller over there, Adam Ottavino, with his insane spin, all that nonsense, signed with the Yankees, and we're gonna get to watch Gary Sanchez attempt to catch that that breaking
ball. Yeah, I was just
that's gonna be fun.
I was just about to make that comment because you had said something in the TDG Slack about it, and I was like, oh my goodness, that is gonna be hilarious. I was gonna say that as a Red Sox fan, I'm annoyed because I really wanted Ottavino to sign with the Sox, and it sucks that he didn't. So, and the Yankees now, their bullpen is even more ridiculous. I just makes me mad. It's awesome for them.
You know what? I wasn't too mad. I was I honestly like took this one a lot better, and I think me cackling about Gary Sanchez trying to catch that really just brightened my day quickly.
Yeah, that's...
and I switched into Durbin Feltman mode. So
yeah, I honestly thought you were going to have to take a pod off due to the devastation of him not signing with the Red Sox. So you're in remarkably better spirits than I anticipated.
Yep.
Well, so that was the only signing, correct? Now, and the potential Sonny Gray one. Nothing else.
Sure.
Yeah, aside from the others you missed, but sure.
Wait, what do you mean the others I missed?
I'm just kidding.
All right, let's keep going. Don't confuse me. It's, you know, it's my morning now. I'm the Keaton from last episode.
Aren't you glad to have Jake back?
I was going to say grad. I am glad to have Jake back. Although the two of you together, I don't know how I feel about like some bad kids in high class. Chance. All right. Well, since we have no real news, no signings and transactions, no injuries, nothing really that we didn't talk about last podcast, I think we're just going to dive right into talking about our first base rankings over at the Dynasty Guru. You can go check them out. We've got 1 through 20 up and 21 through 50. Actually, before we dive right into that, I'm going to do maintenance and reminders. And the first thing I'm going to tell you is submit your questions, listener. You can hit us up on Twitter at Dynasty's Child. That's at Dynasty's Child. Or you can hit us up via email at dynastieschildpod@gmail.com. That's at dynastieschildpod@gmail.com. And Keaton, what's our outro music? Oh.
I haven't decided yet. So it's going to be a surprise. You're going to have to listen to the whole thing to find out.
You've got to listen to this whole thing. So good luck. And then if you want to know the name of it, you can hit us up on Twitter and we'll tell you the name of it. All right, let's get into rankings. We're going to do them by tiers this time rather than looking just at the lists and going 1 through 10. So we broke them into tiers. We've got 3 tiers we're going to talk about today. You can go check out everything over at thedynastyguru.com. First base rankings 1 through 20 are up. I was a part of the comments for those. And then first base rankings 21 through 50 are also up. So diving right into tier 1. Our first tier has Freddie Freeman, Paul Goldschmidt, Cody Bellinger, Anthony Rizzo, Rhys Hoskins, Matt Olson, Joey Votto, Matt Carpenter, Jose Abreu, and Max Muncy. All right, Jake, do you have a dude you'd like to talk about in this first tier?
Yes. I would like to just say that I would actually separate this tier into 3 tiers. I just want to talk about the top 2 guys here. I think that Freddie Freeman and Paul Goldschmidt deserve to be their own tier.
Agreed.
Right here. I think they're clearly ahead of the rest of this group. You know, Freeman especially. Freeman might be his own tier. I don't know. But Goldie's getting a little bit older, but the production that these guys are both going to give you are super elite. I would have those 2 guys there, and I would have a second tier of Rizzo, Hoskins, Bellinger, Carpenter, and Votto. But yeah, I don't know. What do you guys think?
I agree. I had this broken up into other tiers as well. You swayed me on the Freeman and Goldschmidt being on their own. I agree with that. But then my second tier was Bellinger, Rizzo, Hoskins, and Olsons, and then I dropped the bottom 4 into the second tier.
Into the third tier.
Or yeah, third tier.
Yep.
Yeah, and I agree with both of you. I would do similar. Because Freeman and Goldschmidt, the statistics that they apply are so much better, I think. Particularly in average, you know, like there are a few first basemen on this list that you can really count on for average. And there's like a handful of steals there with Freeman. And if you're in an OBP league, they're elite as well. It's just the ratios for those two in particular. And then the counting stats from the lineups they're going to be in too. Definitely in their own tier. But then, yeah, I'd group the Bellinger, Rizzo, Hoskins, and Olsen together. And then Votto, Carpenter, Abreu, and Muncy there at the bottom.
Yep.
Yeah, I think we should talk about Matt Olson here for a second. And I know that will really pain you, Patrick.
It hurts.
But Matt Olson is a guy who I slipped down to tier three. I can be persuaded to put him in tier two. But I had Votto and Carpenter in tier two, and I had Olson in tier three. So why is that wrong, Patrick? Why should I believe in Matt Olson over guys like Votto and Carpenter?
Yeah, I think it's mostly, for me, it's age and upside with Olson. He's only 24 years old, and the dude has hit, what, 53 home runs in his first two seasons in the majors. You know, in standard 5x5, I can get more on board with the potentially putting those guys above him. But for me, it's really about the youth and power potential and his batted ball profile, his patience at the plate, and he improved his strikeout rate last year. If there's any improvement there, which there probably will not be. If you've seen Matt Olson swing a bat, I don't think he's getting much quicker to the ball anytime soon. He's got such a sort of unorthodox swing where he has his hands over the plate and sort of wiggles them around for a second before loading up. But there's just tremendous growth here. And I think even with the confines of the Coliseum, you know, we've seen Chris Davis be successful there hitting bombs. And I do think that you can put Matt Olson's power potential on a Chris Davis-like scale. I don't think he can be contained. He has power to all fields. And, you know, I regularly expect to see him eclipsing the 200 ISO mark. At 24 years old, you know, I just find more value in that. I'd rather own that stock long-term than, you know, I love Joey Votto as a player. He might be my favorite player in baseball, but how old is he now? You know, like, the ratios are there, but the power really slipped last year. You know, I analyzed him and it should be coming back to some degree, but, you know, death comes for us all, man. he can't escape it. And his baseball death, you know, is coming, unfortunately. And I just, yeah. I can't continue to invest.
I think you've convinced me.
Really?
If that didn't do it, let me add that in 2017, his batted ball profile stats were already elite. And in 2018, he made them elite. He was in the top 1% for exit velocity and hard hit rate. His hard hit rate was over 50%, and he has a sexy 18-degree launch angle. Dude is just going to continue to hit bombs and bombs and bombs and bombs, and he's 24.
Yeah, I'm with you. I had him in Tier 2 originally, and then I X'd him out, and then now I'm going to put him back. But I think I would still probably prefer the next 2 years of Carpenter and Votto to the next 2 years of Olson. But I think for a dynasty, like, totally you can talk me into him being more valuable. And screw it. I agree. Let's put him over Carpenter and Votto.
All right. On the dynasty's nice. Child rankings, that's where we've got him.
Nice.
Keaton.
You know, it's funny. That's also where we have him in our consensus rankings.
Oh, well, that is funny. Look at that. We consensed.
It's like someone thought about these rankings.
It's almost as if we already got together and debated about them. Keaton, since I rambled there about Olson for a bit, do you have a player you'd like to talk about?
In that tier?
Yeah. In the first tier, in tier one.
By the way, just looking at this, I'm wondering if Adam actually put tiers together or just grouped the first 10, the second 10, and the third 10. And just had our top 30 in here.
That would appear to be what happened.
Makes
sense?
Yeah.
Okay.
I just think there's a significant difference from the Rizzo, Hoskins, Olsen names to the Votto, Carpenter, Abreu, Muncy names. So there should be some distinction between those guys for me.
Okay. Yeah. Is that all you want to talk about here?
I have a tier three of Abreu, Muncy.
Yeah, let's move on to the next one.
Yeah. Okay. Moving on. All right. Tier Jesus Aguilar, Peter Alonso, Josh Bell, Jose Martinez, Eric Hosmer, Carlos Santana, Jake Bowers, Nate Lowe, Brandon Belt, Yuli Gurriel, and Ian Desmond. So, Keaton, why don't we start with you this time, make you talk more. Who do you want to talk about?
Yeah, of all these names, the guy that I think is most likely to jump up a tier in 2019 is Peter Alonso, assuming that he ends up getting the playing time with the Mets. He's a guy that his batted ball profile and just kind of overall approach to the plate, to me, mirrors Matt Olson's a lot. So I'm excited to see him get to the major leagues and get playing time. And if he continues to mash like he's done in the high minors, he's a guy that I think could definitely jump up to the next tier easily with a nice, productive 2019.
Yeah, I think that we're all aboard the Alonso train here. Is that correct, Jake? Are you on board?
Yeah, I'm definitely there. I totally agree. And I think especially if you play in OBP leagues, he's a guy that in his prime years could challenge for 400 OBP. So super valuable. I actually think for dynasty purposes, I might like him a tad bit more than Olsen at his peak.
I think that's a reasonable case to make. Personally, I wouldn't do that because Matt Olsen is so handsome. But I can see that. Alonso is probably, I mean, he's definitely the best power bat in the minors, yeah? Well, there's Vlad.
Yeah, I wouldn't say that.
It's close, though.
At first base.
Yeah, at first base. Okay, let's say at first base.
I mean, just like pure power.
Yeah.
He's up there. He's for sure up there.
Yeah. I know that I've read that his exit velocity readings are quite high. I'm not sure how they got them since he's in the minor leagues. But somebody wrote somewhere, great, internet guys. The internet told me that Peter Alonso has great exit velocity numbers. So Keaton, just don't use that and cut it right out.
Yep, staying in.
Great. All right. Well, I like Peter Alonso quite a bit. We all do. We would have him above Jesus Aguilar, probably. It's close, though. I like Aguilar a little bit more. I tend to go with the safe commodity sometimes. Plus, Jesus Aguilar fits my, you know, big, slow guy. But you guys would both have Peter Alonso over him, yeah?
Yes.
Yep.
Yeah. All right. Guy I'd like to talk about is Josh Bell. He has really fallen from grace for me, in the sense that like his sort of projection of where he was going has changed. Where I thought that when he first came up, he might hit for power. Last year, he had a significant dip, going from 26 home runs to 12. And that, to me, I did a write-up on him for, I don't know if you guys have heard of this thing we do called the Triple Play. It's an article where we sort through, we go through each major league team, writing about a hitter, pitcher, and a prospect. I wrote about Bell. He's seen a significant change in his batted ball profile, and also he's been shifted a lot more. I don't know that he's going to get back past 20 home runs. I think he just hits the ball on the ground too much. And while he's going to be a force in OBP leagues, for traditional 5x5 leagues, I don't think he really brings anything all that valuable.
Where's the change?
Well,
in his batted ball profile.
He hit more ground balls, I believe.
It dipped from 51 to 48%.
Right. Hold on a second. His home run to fly ball rate.
I mean, he has above average exit velocity, average launch angle, a hard hit rate that's above average, and he increased his walk percent up to 13% and strikes out 17% of the time.
He was worth more WRC plus, I believe. Yep, he went from 108 to 112 because he changed his approach at the plate. If you look at if you're in Baseball Savant and you were to take a look at his pitch selection, like checking out his chase rate and things like that, you can see that I think he was a more patient hitter. He wasn't as aggressive when he was, you know, hacking at pitches. He was much more patient. So I suppose that's where what I really meant. His swing strike rate.
The power took a dip, and it's interesting to me why, because his barrel percent is the same, but he increased his exit velocity and launch angle and his hard hit rate. So that is interesting to me, as it obviously dropped pretty significantly. To me, that signals is going to come back.
We got a bet here. We got a dumb bet.
Sure. Over under 15?
15? That's not power coming back.
I think you guys should put it at 20.
Yeah.
I mean, I'll take that still.
You'll do 20?
Yeah.
All right, I'll take the under.
I got to get in here about Josh Bell.
Oh, please do, Jake.
Yeah, break the tie. Where are we?
I was actually... Can you guys hear me, by the way?
Yes. Unless you disagree with me, then no.
Okay. I was actually going to highlight Josh Bell in a positive way right before Patrick highlighted him in a negative way. I actually see a lot that I like here with Josh Bell. I think it's an ideal time to buy. Coming off a 12 home run year, the guy's only 26, like you mentioned. There's a shitload to like in the fact that he doesn't strike out. He walks a ton. He hits the ball hard, like Keaton was mentioning. He does have a little bit of a ground ball issue, but I feel like this is a guy that before he really came up, I mean, I'm looking at a report from 2017 right here. He was graded as a future 60 hit tool, 55 game power guy. And I think that he's a good enough hitter that he is certainly someone who could make those adjustments to his swing to raise his launch angle. And I think that as he, you know, matures even more, he's only 26, he's going to get stronger. I could see some really, really good years from him. I could see like 25 to 30 home runs with close to 300 batting average and super high OBP. I'm actually really into Josh Bell.
He also uses the field, all fields, relatively evenly. He's not pull reliant either. So he's a guy that, as you pointed out, they're shifting him more, but I don't think it's going to have much of an effect because he's still going oppo and center just as much as he's pulling.
Yeah, but the thing about his launch angle, Keaton, is 9.2 still isn't very good. It is above league average, but it's still not good. It's still low. And so, and with a 89, I mean, he is hitting the ball almost at 90 miles per hour. But I feel like he's going to need a lot of plate appearances to get to even, you know, over 20 home runs, just based on the launch angle alone. You know, 9.2 is fine, but it's not anything to write home about.
And Christian Yelich hit almost 40 with a launch angle of like 2.5.
Right, but who else did that?
No one. I'm just saying, 9 is a bit higher. I'm not worried about it.
If you're giving a guy a chance to improve that, you would give it to a guy with a 60 hit tool. Like,
yep.
To be able to make those tweaks at 26 years old.
Yep.
Like, the thing that we forget sometimes when we look at data, and this is one of the things that I've definitely been guilty of, is like, we look at the data and we're like, oh, that's what that guy is. But no, that guy's a human being, and he can work on things in the off season and correct those things. And I think that's especially possible when someone is both young and as talented as Bell.
Yeah,
I agree wholeheartedly.
I don't agree that Bell is going to be a power hitter. I don't think he'll ever come close to 30 home runs. And I just don't see it. Even in the barrel percentage, while 6.7 is fine, it's not elite. I know he's a human, but I just don't – I'm not on board. And 26, if you look at, you know, aging curves, is supposed to be pretty much your peak, which I know you love old men. but somewhere between 26 and 28, I think, is your peak production. And I'm not on it. So let's make a bet. Let's do a water bet for this one.
Perfect.
And Jake, do you want in?
It has been written.
No, you guys can have this one. I'm sure I'll make many a stupid bet with you guys over the course of the year.
All right, well, let's keep going. Jake, did I even ask you if you had anybody you wanted to? Well, you were going to talk about Josh Bell. We should probably move on. We talked about Josh Bell probably.
I was going to talk about Josh Bell.
All right. Yep. Let's keep going then and move on to the next tier. Keaton, do you have anyone else you want to talk about on this list?
Nope, I have someone in the tier that I want to talk about.
Well, who's that?
My man, Mancini. He is far too low in our consensus rankings for me. I love him. I've talked about him quite a bit. He actually had a pretty decent 2018. He had a really good second half of the season where he was able to kind of recover a lot of his power stats and average turned around a bit because he was trending at like 210, 215 there at the beginning of the first half. But he ended at 242, which, I mean, having a strong second half and moving it up that much is pretty good. But he hammers the ball. He's a guy, he needs to have a better launch angle. It's about like 5 degrees, but he hits the ball really hard and very frequently. And he's also young. So he's 26 years old, pretty much identical to Bell. And I need him to be higher. And he's a guy that with, putting it together another full season, like he had the second half or like his 2017, is very easily in the next tier for me.
Jake, what do you think about this this Mancini love?
I hate Mancini. I don't get it.
Yeah.
I look at his profile, and he doesn't really walk. He strikes out in the mid-20s. He's a big risk. I mean, in 2017, when he had a good year and hit .293 with 24 bombs, he had a .352 BABIP. I don't think that is going to repeat itself. I think that the guy that he was last year with the 93 WRC plus, 24 home runs, 242 average is more indicative of the type of player that you're going to get moving forward. I think he might be a tick better in average, but really the value with this guy to me is that he's going to play every day and he will get you those 20, 25 bombs. But he's not a special player, and we know how cheap power is in this current league environment. So to me, Mancini is an afterthought, a throw-in, and just a non-commodity.
Whoa, that's brutal.
Yeah, sounds like a bet between the two of you.
Oh, man, we're going to make so many bets.
We can't make this many bets, guys.
We're going to make a bet about every single dude.
We're not going to make a bet about every single dude, but Mancini is definitely one of your boys, Keaton.
He is. And that's probably why I shouldn't bet, because anything that you come to me, I'm going to say that he's going to do better. He's a guy that at this point, I'm just too irrationally bought in that I don't know if I can be swayed, which, you know, we all have those guys.
He had a negative 0.2 war, according to Fangraphs last year.
Yeah, well, you know what his war was in my heart? 6.9.
Oh, God. Nice. His barrel percentage is pretty sexy, 11.5. The exit velocity is right on the nail with Josh Bell at 89.9. Launch angle is 5.5, just like you said.
Not great.
No, that's the negative. But he plays in Camden Yards, so that's the positive. And he hits the ball real hard, mm-hmm. so also a positive. But those ratio stats, it doesn't look like he's going to do anything for you. You know, in either, he's not going to kill you in average leagues, but in OBP, he's not anything to write home about. You don't want him in your OBP team, for sure.
Who plays in a league with ratios? I play in strictly 9x9s, all counting stats.
Well, then, in that particular league, he's going to be swell, except for, you know, steals. I realize I didn't read tier 3, so I'm just going to go through it real quickly here. Justin Smoke, Luke Voit, Tyler White, Miguel Cabrera, Ryan Zimmerman, Trey Mancini, Ronald Guzman, Ryan McMahon, CJ Crone, and finally Ryan Healy. Jake, what you got?
One of the guys I like in this tier, and let me just make sure he's in this tier, is Justin Smoke. I think that guy's perpetually underrated. I think that Smoke is always getting disrespected every year, and he just quietly kind of has a good fantasy season and gets underdrafted and undervalued. So he's a guy, if you look at his numbers, he's better in every single way than the boy that we just talked about. Mancini. So just because he's a little bit older, and we know how you guys hate old guys and rail about them all the time. So he's 32 years old. Last year he had 25 home runs, 242 average, 350 on base percentage, 121 WRC plus. The guy just puts up numbers. He had 38 home runs the year before. He's projected by Steamer to have 28 next year. He's just a quiet little cheap machine.
So I think I'm on board with most of the things you said, including the fact that I hate old people. He's got definitely a bit of a platoon split with his power. He can't hit a damn off lefties. He hit 5 of his home runs off lefties last year and 20 of them off righties. Surprisingly, he hit more of his home runs away than he did at home. Because another thing I was going to bring up is Rowdy Tellez is coming. And are you concerned about him taking playing time away from Smoke at all?
Yeah, I guess a little bit. Not tremendously. I guess I still think that Smoke's going to get the bulk of the playing time. And, you know, even if he does get a platoon share, it's going to be the right-handed side of the platoon. And he hit 20 home runs against righties last year. So I think that he's going to continue to be a cheap source of production. So especially if you're in daily leagues, that's not going to matter too much. It's easy to find a left-handed side of a platoon to match with.
That's true. And contract-wise, he's got, what, I think next season? Before he...
This is it.
Yeah. So then he's actually a great trade chip for the Blue Jays. I'm surprised that he's quite expensive, so they probably have to eat some of that salary. I think he would be a great person to move. You know, they want to get their young players playing anyway, so get old man Smoke out of there. No, I like him. I think he's just fine. I don't know, you know, I'm not as passionate about him as you, but Keaton, Smoke, you Smoke?
Nah. I'm exactly as Jake described. I'm meh on him. Right. Probably because of his age.
Yeah. What is he, 20, 28?
Ageism's alive and well.
He said he's 32.
Oh, 32, that's 32. Right. Oof, okay, I was wrong. Boy, not on my game today.
Yes, you were.
He's Patrick's age.
Yeah, I'm old. I don't even have a memory anymore. I can't remember how old people are. All right, so the guy I'd like to talk about is Tyler White. I'm a little nervous about his production. Jake, you and I were sort of the high men on him in his playing time last year. He's easy to love. He's this big, bearded, patient guy. So, come on. Of course, I want to love him. But I'm a little worried at his actual ability to hit baseballs. So, last year, when he came up, he hit most of his home runs in 1 month. He hit most of his home runs. He hit 4 of them in August. No. Sorry, excuse me. He hit 7 in September and October and 4 of them in August. So I'm a little nervous about... Did I say that right? No. Shit. Okay. I'm going to back up. Sorry, guys. I was not prepared for this.
Patrick. Right.
Yeah.
Patrick.
Yeah.
You want to do better?
Yeah.
Throw some milk on it.
God damn it. I'm going to drink some more coffee.
That was perfect. You said it so seriously, too. Like you had something great to say to him.
Sorry, am I just...
There was some fucking milk
on it. I'm a little spacey today. I'm going to get back on track here. I'm going to throw some milk on it and be all right. Also, Adam, please name this episode Throw Some Milk on It. Keaton, or who is laughing? Stop laughing. I gotta get back.
I'm still laughing to myself.
It's a combo.
All right, so guy I want to talk about is Tyler White, who needs to throw some milk on it. The dude hit 8 of his home runs last year. He hit 8 of them in August, and then proceeded to hit 1 and 2. So I'm a little nervous. When I see production like that all kind of squished into one month, I get nervous because I want the skills to be sustainable. I know the overall numbers look, you know, like, hey, this could be a guy. And perhaps he is, because he's traditionally been a patient, strong hitter in the minors. But he's also been up. This isn't his first time up. He came up in 2016, played a little bit in 2017, and hasn't really stuck. Now, he did show great patience at the plate, and really for, a power hitter, didn't swing and miss quite as much as you would think. So that's in his favor. But I'm just a little nervous. Now, Jake, you're a Tyler White dude. Do you have any thoughts on him?
Yeah, for sure. I agree with you that there are some uncertainties, especially since he's never done this for a full year, and with the platoon stuff you mentioned, or not the platoon stuff, but the months. But just anecdotally, like watching a good amount of Astros games last year, which I did, man, the guy like looks good against good pitchers. So just from like a scouting from your couch perspective, I've seen him rip triples and doubles and home runs off of some of the best players in Major League Baseball. So I don't know whether that was attributed to just, you know, his hot month or whatever, but I really think there are some real repeatable skills here with Tyler White. He's 28 years old. I think he figured something out. And it seems like the Houston Astros think that he's figured something else out too, because going into this upcoming season, he is slated to be their DH. And really, if you look at the bench, it's Max Stassi, Aledmys Diaz, Jake Marisnyk, Tony Kemp at this point. I mean, he's going to play. So I love him for the opportunity and for what he could be. And let's not forget, like, 66 games, but a 144 WRC plus throughout that time. So the upside here is substantial. And I think that there's a lot of skeptics out there. So we may be wrong on him, but I think he passed the eye test.
Keith, do you have any thoughts on Mr. White?
I agree with Jake.
So I'm the only one that's truly skeptical. I mean, the DH thing is interesting because they have so many moving parts, right? They have Kyle Tucker sitting down in the minors, and that guy has nothing left to prove there. Perhaps he wins the right field job in spring training somehow. Josh Reddick has been a formidable player, so there's no real reason for him to not have a gig. But if Kyle Tucker really outplayed him this spring, I don't think it's impossible. But I'm wondering if Kyle Tucker could get any at-bats too, so we'll have to see. Because they do have Brantley listed as the second backup at DH. So that's an opportunity for Tucker right there, potentially, in left field sometimes. We'll see. That's enough on White. Let's keep going. Where are we at? Keaton, did you talk about a guy yet? Everybody's talked about a guy?
Yep.
We threw some milk on it and got real lost, so I'm trying to get us back on track.
Next segment.
Rookie special, do we want to do this?
Sure.
Okay. We already talked about Peter Alonso, so I guess it's the Nathaniel Lowe show for me. So just jumping into our next segment here, we're going to talk about some rookies that we've got a little bit of a thing for, guys we're keeping an eye on. I want to start with Nathaniel Lowe for the Tampa Bay Rays. 23 years old, should get a chance this year, because he played at three different levels last year. Played at high A, double A, and then finally triple A. And boy, oh boy, did he flip a power switch and become a totally different hitter than previous years, and had himself a hell of a season. He looks like he needs a little more time to saute, to simmer in triple A, as he was not walking at the elite clip that he had shown in double A. Double A, he had a walk rate of 15.6. And that got cut down to 7.3, and the swing rate went up, way up. So the power was still there, still rocking an ISO of 200. He was still hitting bombs, but I'd like to see some better ratios. I think he needs a little time at AAA before he gets into the majors. And with the Tampa Bay Rays, you can probably expect that they'll let him sit for a little bit down there. So he's somebody, though, that I'm really, really excited about. I don't know. Tampa Bay has so many moving parts, similar to the Astros, that I'm not entirely sure where he's going to play. He's best suited for DH or first base. So, yeah, I'm not sure exactly what they're going to do with all those pieces there, but I do like that bat a lot, and am excited to see him. You know, he's only eight. You know, he's 23 years old. He could be a significant source of power and ratios for your team. Probably not average. I don't know that he'll hurt you in average. He did hit 300 in high A and double A. He hit 356 and then 340. But that dropped to 260. So maybe he provides you with some decent average. But I'm excited to see what he can do in the majors. Do you guys like him?
Yeah, I definitely do. I was just reading Jordan Rosenblum's little blurb on Nathaniel Lowe from our rankings. And I think one of the most interesting things is the last sentence of it. It says Clay Davenport's major league translation for Lowe's total 2018 minor league performance adjusted for aging was 304, 385, 545 with 35 home runs. So obviously we're not expecting him to do that at the major league level. But it's interesting that like that's the type of season that he had in the minor leagues. Yeah. And I think that he has clearly elevated what everyone thinks of his ceiling at this point. He was sort of a non-factor coming into last year. And he's really put himself in that conversation of guys right behind Peter Alonso that you'd want to own at first base, especially if you're a rebuilding team.
Keats, anything?
Yeah, I mean, again, I agree with Jake. There's a lot to like there. So I don't know if I need to rehash everything that he said because he said it well, but I agree.
All right. Then let's move on. Keaton, do you have a rookie you want to talk about other than Alonso?
I do. I have talked about Edwin Rios a bit on this pod a few different times. So I'm going to switch to someone that I like even more, probably irrationally. But Matt Thace is a guy that I like a lot, and I own a whole bunch of shares of him. And it's weird because he seems like the most bland, boring prospect out there right now. But I really like him. And he has a really good profile for his approach. Walks at near double-digit rate strikeouts in the high teens, so it's well below 20, which is exactly what we want to see even in the high minors there. So last season, he finally started to tap into some of his power. He hit 16 home runs, which was just about double what he had done in 2017. But more importantly, he hits the ball in the air a whole lot. And his ground ball rate was in the low 30s last season. So he puts the ball in the air and he pulls a lot, so I think he's going to hit a whole bunch of home runs, even more than the 16. I think he can probably get to 20 to 25 at the major league level. But he's in AAA now, and he's kind of behind some folks there at first for the Angels right now. So I don't know if he ends up staying in the minors for a full season again this year or not. But he seems like industry-wide, guys are kind of bleh on him because he's just a vanilla prospect, but I don't know why I rationally like him, but he's a guy that I've bought into across the board in my leagues.
You know, you're starting to convince me a little bit about Matt Thace, and I think one of the reasons why is because what I do believe in with him is hit tool.
Yeah,
and everyone knows that the major league balls are just a touch juiced, so like his power is going to play up.
Yeah,
and he is going to continue to grow into his big boy body. So yeah, I think we ought to be giving him a little bit more of a thought. And when I look at our list, our top 20, I mean, it's not a stretch to imagine him in like the 15 or so range at this time next year, if he gets any sort of playing time.
Yeah, absolutely. I buy that.
Yeah. Yeah. It could happen.
Patrick, do you have any thoughts on Thace? Some Thace thoughts?
Yeah, I am on board too. I really like the line drive ground ball fly ball rate. It's sexy as hell. And you're right. I mean, he doubled his power output. Things look good for him. You know, I wish he would walk a little bit more, but you know, that's just me. That's how I am. But he makes enough contact where it really doesn't matter. 17% K rate is fine. You know, he's making contact and putting up a solid ISO. Yeah, dude, I'm with you. And I think that Jake's right on the money, too. So, congratulations, you guys. We agree on something. Yay.
Hey-o.
Nice.
Jake.
All right, I'll talk about my guy now. So, I have a new drafty, Tristan Casas, the first-round pick of your 2018 World Series champion Boston Red Sox. This guy's a monster. He is drafted as a third baseman, but immediately after he was drafted, everybody's like, nah, that's a first baseman. And the reason why is because he's 19 years old, and he's already 6'4", 6'5", and over 240, probably more like 250, especially now in the offseason. The thing that is awesome about him is that he's got a really good feel to hit, and his game power plays. Scouts are listing his power at 60. I think it could be more than 60 power. I think it could be 65 power. That's kind of just how big and strong this guy is. And then his hit tool is routinely graded out at around a 50. So pretty advanced for somebody who's got all that power, and especially advanced for a 19-year-old. So he's someone I think that could really be one of the stars at first base if he develops the way that, you know, he potentially could. It's a lot of pressure to put on the bat considering he's going to be a first base only guy, but the Red Sox have done a tremendous job developing position players over the last, 10, 15 years here. So I think that he's in a good org to do it. So he's definitely one of the top 20 guys that I would consider in a first-year player draft for 2018, and I think he could be a top 100 guy by this time next year if the season goes well and he adjusts well to professional ball.
Yeah, I love him. I love that the Red Sox ended up with him as a Red Sox fan. I really am stoked about Tristan Casas. I agree with everything you just said. Casas? Oh boy, guys, I can't pronounce anyone's name.
I've heard it. Casas?
Yeah, Casas. That sounds right. I'll go with that. So I'm with you. Good pick. Good picks, guys. I already talked extensively about Josh Bell. We've made a dumb bet, Keaton and I, so no need to go any further there. Jake, you have someone that I might consider overrated as well, but I'm curious as to hear your reasoning for it. But you've got Cody Bellinger as overrated. Can you please go into that?
Yeah, sure. Cody Bellinger, coming off his Rookie of the Year season in 2017, where he hit 39 bombs in 132 games, was drafted like, you know, the next Mike Trout, essentially. And he's a good player. He's a really good player. But the problem is that the league adjusted back to him last year. He hit 25 home runs, batted 260, had a good season, but that's just what he is. He's a good first baseman. I don't see a superstar here. I think that he's going to be right around that 25 to 30 home run range. He'll steal some bags. He'll get on base at a good clip, 340 to 350. But I just don't see a massive ceiling here. That's why I can't put him in a tier with the Freemans and the Goldschmidts. And I think that there's guys in his tier that I would rather own than him. I would rather own Rizzo. I would rather own Hoskins. I think that those two guys, plus Carpenter and Votto, I might even throw Matt Olson in that group, all have potential to have better seasons than him over the next 2-3 years. So I think that he's more name value and age than he is performance. He's certainly good, but I don't see a whole lot of projection left in that body. I'm not really sure how we're going to get more out of him than we're getting out of him at this point.
The one thing I would say that, so the one thing he offers that is similar to Goldschmidt is speed, which is a rarity in first base land. He has elite sprint speed, according to the Baseball Savant, looking at the StatCast stuff. He also has an elite success rate and stealing bases. He stole 14 last year. I could easily see him doing that again. And he hit 25 bombs. I would agree with you, but I think he is what he is. Like, I don't know that we're going to see much more coming from him. But 30 home runs and maybe 15 steals, you know, that's pretty damn good. He'll take a hit in average, but in OBP leagues, he should be a force. Keaton, do you have strong Bellinger feelings?
I don't. I think I may tend to agree with you that at this point he may be what he is. He made some slight improvements in some areas last season. Cut the walk rate by 3%. Sorry, cut the strikeout rate by 3%. Walk rate fell a little bit, but was still in double digits. But, I mean, like you said, the potential for a 30-15 guy and that being what he is still pretty good. I think I agree with Jake that he's not, you know, top three, top two at the position, but he's still in that next tier down. So I don't know. I don't think we did a bad job in where we were ranking him, but I certainly see the argument for him being properly rated or slightly overrated. But don't feel strongly either way.
You guys should keep talking about him for a second, because I think one of the interesting things that I'd like to do. I just did a 20-team draft, and I want to see where he went in this draft, just to kind of give you an idea of how high you have to take a guy like this. So here it is. I've got the thing right here.
Probably second round, I'd imagine.
Boom. So he went Bellinger. He went 26th overall in a 20-team OBP dynasty league. Everything else was standard 5x5. Other than OBP, and he was the first baseman off the board in a dynasty.
He was the first first baseman?
Freeman was 31.
Yeah, that I don't agree with.
Yeah.
Goldie was 34. But that's how people are valuing him in a dynasty, because he's so young. Like, that's the math that people are doing in their heads is, oh shit, this guy's 23. He's eligible at multiple positions. He should be picked. So just to give you an idea of the position players picked right above him and below him. Above him was Eloy Jimenez, Gleyber Torres, and Andrew Benintendi. And below him was Corey Seager, Trevor Story, and Freddie Freeman. Mm.
Yeah, I would take those three below him for sure.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
Agreed. All right.
Yeah, especially when you can get guys like Rizzo at like 39.
Or Josh Bell.
So.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Or Josh Bell. So I want to talk about underrated first baseman now. I'll start with Luke Voit. A big pinstriped man that's taken my heart. One of the ways that he stuck out to me, other than just being insane in that one, you know, in his short time with the Yankees, was he shows up oddly on the new DRC Plus that Baseball Prospectus rolled out. He rolled out on as fifth on that list, so right above Max Muncy. So guys that he's around are Mike Trout, Mookie Betts, JD Martinez, Jose Ramirez, and then it's him. That's one way that he popped out to me. Now, that's not a metric that I'm going to use to sort of gauge how good I think he is, but it's sort of a hint to me that there's something there. And then when you look at his launch angle of 15.3 and his exit velocity is 93 miles per hour, and he barreled 20%, that's obviously not sustainable. There's a lot of stuff that is not sustainable. But even when you account for sort of the regression that's going to happen to him, I think there's still a really good player there. And he's got the opening day job, I believe, or he's going to win it in spring training if he doesn't have it already. I'm really curious to see what he develops into. I think there could be an elite bat there. I know that you probably don't agree with me, Jake, because he's a quad A guy. Is that right?
No, I'm actually, I mean, I don't buy like the fifth in DRC guy that Voit showed last year in just 47 games that he played. But I do think that there is something there. And I do think that he is valuable and he's shown some real skills. So I agree with you that he is probably underrated. I'm still not sure what type of career he'll have. And I think this year will go an incredibly long way to letting us know kind of what we actually have here. But there's enough that's enticing that I think he's worth taking a bet on in a lot of your leagues if you can get a hold of this guy.
Yeah,
but I think people that like Luke Voit love Luke Voit.
It's sort of mixed. I found it to be mixed because there are a lot of people that don't believe because the sample size was so small, and there are some people that think that Greg Bird is still going to get that job at first base, that he's still the first baseman that was promised. So it's a little mixed as far as what I've found, because I've traded for him in a few leagues. So people don't know how to value him, too, I've found. He's worth inquiring, and I don't think that you'll be able to get him. I think he's at a good price right now. I don't know that you'll be able to get him. If he does what we think he might be capable of, I think it might be your last chance to sort of buy low on him. Keen, do you have any... what's another word for? I need a synonym for thoughts. Musings. Do you have any musings about Luke Voit?
You keep asking me about people that I don't have thoughts on. Voit is one of them. He had an interesting year, and to me, he gets that he's a guy label. So I know that you've fully bought in, but I don't think I've bought in or out. But I don't know how much playing time he's going to end up getting. And it seems more flash in the pan to me.
All right. Yeah. I feel like there is that perspective amongst the Dynasty community. So, well, then why don't you talk about a guy you do like, Keaton?
All right. Well, this will be good because I don't think anybody else likes this guy. But I think that Ryan Healy is a useful first baseman in most fantasy leagues. I understand that the ratios are not going to be there, but he hits the ball really hard, and he doesn't walk, and he strikes out a bunch. I get it. But he still just keeps producing. So that's the... I have a few shares of Ryan Healy, and I know that he cannot play defense at all, which hurts the chances for any kind of at-bats. But when he's out there, he's great for counting stats. So fill the rest of your roster out with ratio guys, and then Healy will pump those counting stats.
Jake, take this one, please. You got it.
I fucking hate Healy. He's never going to get on the field, man. He's like, no chance. He's done. Stick a fork in him. Sell him for a bag of balls. I mean, guy's defense is atrocious, and he doesn't get on base. So I agree that he smacks the ball around when he makes contact with it. But, like, unfortunately for him, there's a whole other side to baseball that requires not being up to bat.
Or is there, and is he going to get traded to somewhere to DH? Whoa.
What? The Mariners have him and Vogelbach on the same team. The Mariners are an absurd ball club.
They are an absurd ball club. They're like a mystery. They're a mystery to me.
Yeah. So I just got a text from Adam Lawler, actually, and he wants us to talk about a certain young guy.
I think I know who it is.
He said, will you mention my rookie name to watch is Patrick because he's a little bitch and he does some rookie-ass moves?
I hate him more than anything. You know what? I just want to say again, is he here? Is he here, you guys?
He's not. He's not here.
Little bitch. That's why.
All right, can I talk about my underrated first baseman now?
Yeah, I guess.
No.
Go ahead.
Thanks. All right, so I want to talk about the man, the myth, the future Hall of Famer, Miggy Cabrera. We all know what a bad year Miggy had. He's been dealing with some health issues. He's kind of fat. And that's not good because he hasn't been on the field and the Tigers suck. But last year, he was still only behind Luke Voit, Matt Olson, Max Muncy, and Matt Carpenter in hard hit percentage at first base. He had a 46.3 hard hit percentage, which was amongst the highest in the game. The guy still knows how to hit a baseball. And if he comes back and plays, you know, anything close to 130, 140 games, he's going to be a force. And projections still love him. 26 home runs, 283 batting average with a 369 OBP is what Steamer's projecting for him now. It wouldn't shock me at all to see him get back to the 30 home run plateau. He's been super banged up over the last couple of years. So if he gets his health right, he's going to be good. And the most recent report is that Cabrera has started hitting and is expected to be 100% for the start of spring training. So anywhere that I can, I am buying shares of Miggy because they are dirt cheap right now.
He's only hit 30 home runs once since 2013.
That is true.
So I would be surprised if he got there. He's super old, and to me, he's not really giving you much but average or OBP, depending on what kind of league you play in. So for me, he's not underrated because I think you can take a chance on some of these other guys to get you more in multiple categories than just the one from Cabrera, and he's old.
I think he might be properly rated, but I do... I agree with Jake in the sense that, like, I think that he's a possible buy low opportunity in your league, kind of a sneaky buy low, because he has such potential. You know, this is one of the best hitters of our generation. If you wanted to see something eye appeasing, go have yourself a look at the Baseball Savant page for Miguel Cabrera and go down to the standard MLB batting statistics. So they have the top 5, top 10, top 15, and top 20 highlighted, and his statistics are just covered in red for like a ton of categories. It's pretty amazing. He is a force. He was a force, and he has the potential to, you know, for a year, if you're looking at a year or two of contention, you know, if you can buy him on the cheap, it might be worth it. You know, stick him in your util spot. I don't know if I'd have him as my primary first baseman, but utility, sure. So I think he's appropriately rated, I guess.
So where we had him ranked, for those that didn't know, we have him at 25 in our consensus rankings. And I agree with Patrick. I think that's probably right where you should be.
You guys remember Miggy's 2013?
Yes.
I'd never forget.
I mean, he had a 193 WRC plus and was worth 8.6 war with negative 4 defensive value.
That's amazing.
I mean, he was just... offense incarnate.
Yes. Yeah,
he was. He had quite a run.
I wonder if that's better than any single season Pujols had. Probably not.
Pujols got to like 50 home runs a couple times, didn't he?
Yeah, but he never won the Triple Crown.
I'm just wondering if...
He didn't.
You know, no, Pujols is not human. It actually is a higher WRC plus than Pujols ever had in any single season, but Pujols had a 9.5 war season with a negative 5.4 defensive rating 1 year.
Oh, and I was wrong. Pujols actually never got to 50 home runs.
This has been Dynasty's Child, part of the Dynasty Guru website. I've been your host, Patrick Magnus. You can find us all at the Dynasty Guru, where Keaton, what have you done?
I am doing them commies. Shortstop. We're on shortstop now. So I'm writing up some shortstop comments. And then I think next week I'm going to put out another Keaton It Real on some subject. So you can keep an eye out for that.
All right. And Jake, what are you doing?
I don't do shit.
He's great on Twitter. So you can find Jake on Twitter at DevJake. He's a fantastic follow. You can find me at The Green Magnus. You can find Keaton at The Spoken Keats, but Keaton, where else can we find you?
You can find me building an igloo out of the snow that's piled up on the corner of a street. You can find me sledding over grassy knolls and losing my balance on the sidewalks, or wherever you get your locally sourced hot cocoa.
All right. And you can find our producer, Adam Lawler, at the StatCast Era. That's going to do it for us today. Have an awesome day. And as always, be the best bird dog you can be.